Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
With World War I and the Spanish flu pandemic in the rearview mirror, then technology turning some of the long, mundane daily chores into items that just took seconds each day, many Americans are enjoying a period of wealth and leisure time they had never experienced before. Some of that time could be spent watching athletic events like football, and some innovative people were finding ways to capitalize on it. We'll come into more of that football history for 1920 coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we do try to do each and every day, we want to make sure you're aware of an email newsletter that we have that coming out. It has all the great information for that day on Pigskin Dispatch, the Sports Jersey Dispatch, and JerseyDispatch.com, as well as our friends at the Sports History Network. We want you to know each and every morning what's new and what to look forward to listen to and podcast and read about in podcast articles. But you can do that a couple different ways. Get our newsletter each morning at 6:30 a.m. Eastern and delivered to your email inbox for absolutely free, no charge. And you can do that a couple different ways by signing up the email subscriber button on Pigskin Dispatch up near the top, or you can go to the show notes of this very podcast and click the link there and sign up, or go to pigskindispatch.com/lowercase i capital U capital G to sign up for that great newsletter. And also follow us on Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch and Facebook. We have the Pigskin Dispatch page there on social media. So now let's get into the heart of our story. And we are at Football History Rewind section part number 41. And we're going to be talking about a whole new decade in football. The decade of the 1920s in the United States is often referred to as the Roaring Twenties, and the game of football shared in the roar with the rest of the American society. The game was a wide-open strategy, full of unique gadget plays and passing, and the collegiate stadiums were full at the game time with fans supporting their teams with the verbal rah-rahs and with pennants and cheerleaders waving and cheering on their 11 that are down on the field. And a football game was really becoming a big social event in the college towns to a certain extent as it is now. Marching bands played school fight songs and crowds cheered their players on from packed stands. And a lot of these early traditions were started that we still see in today's games. One might think the game could have suffered in these times where the Prohibition and the feats of Charles Lindbergh's grabbed most of the headlines, but it did not. It thrived and the public wanted more. Now, one of the biggest roars was from the Bears of the University of California, as they started to become what many consider a most formidable college gridiron dynasty, known by many as the Wonder Teams of head coach Andy Smith. Cal went on a tear starting in 1920, where they went undefeated in five seasons with an incredible record of 44 victories and four ties. Some of the people close to those teams of the Cal in the Wonder Years believe that the 1921 might have been the best of the bunch. You could hardly blame them, as the Bears were crowned the national champions of 1920 in all of college football. Lee Cramner, a tackle and guard for the University of Cal from 1919 through 1921, and in 1928, he sat down with writer L.H. Gregory of Portland, Oregon, to talk about these special teams of Andy Smith. He says, quote, "Our 1920 team was the best of all time California Wonder teams. Cramner went on to expound upon his reasoning for this statement later in the interview when he was quoted as saying, "The difference between that team and the one in 1921 was that in 1920, we knew we were good. And we had the stuff and we were out to demonstrate it. In 1921, we knew we were good and pretty damn good. So we sometimes felt like we didn't have to prove it," unquote. As complacent as the former Bear made the 1921 team seem from a statement, they too, just like a 1920 squad, did not lose a game. Now, rumors flew around about Andy Smith and that he signaled in plays to his offensive from the bench via a nervous habit. Now, stories claim that Smith also often parched during ball games, would tell his quarterback Charlie Erb what play to run, by which bucket the coach would dip his metal ladle into. Lee Cramner, in the same interview with L.H. Gregory, discredits the story as an old wives' tale. Cramner was quoted to say, quote, "Nothing to it at all. In the 3 years I played under Andy, I never once knew him to signal from the bench. The water drinking was merely an expression of Andy's nervousness during the game. Andy was too smart a coach to signal," unquote. Now, Smith coached the linemen and went on to say, quote, "When the Bears went onto the field, running the team was in the hands of Charlie Erb, quarterback, and it was Charlie who called every play. One reason Erb was such a great quarterback was that Andy Smith, after the game started, and left him absolutely alone," unquote. So remember, back in that era of football, it was illegal for the sidelines to even really communicate to the team out on the field. So you couldn't signal in plays, you couldn't run plays in, unlike today. It seems kind of foreign to us, but that was a big no-no back in that day. Apparently, from these reports, Smith would coach up his teams to the point in practice and before the opening kickoff that he did not need to alter things during the game. His and the Bears' successes during the Wonder Team years speaks volumes for the Smith way of coaching, and very organized back then. And speaking of organization, we're going to get to more of that right after this great message on another podcast you can hear about great football.
The memorable moments were many. Franco Harris's immaculate reception, Roger Staubach's Hail Mary. But the decade's greatest teams were defined by defense. Author Michael McCambridge. Joe Zagorski's podcast, Pro Football in the 1970s, pays homage to a time when defense ruled the gridiron. Soundtrack provided by Horst Hoffman of filmmusic.io.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Now that's definitely a podcast you'll want to check out because it is very much so in the limelight of sports history that you'll really learn a lot each and every time that podcast comes on there. So make sure you check that out, sportshistorynetwork.com. Now let's get back to our story of football in 1920. And as we sort of alluded to earlier, you know, the Great War of World War One was ended, and it was in the rearview mirror, along with the Spanish flu and some of these other items that had crept up and really kept sports and life in general in America to, you know, be kind of difficult and not able to socialize. Also, the events of the Industrial Revolution were really starting to take hold. America was becoming a world power, and, you know, industrial might was definitely there. And some of the automation of machinery and daily tasks, electricity was become prevalent, the telephone for delivering messages, you know, washing machines, vacuums, some of the industrial machines were making jobs much easier. So people had a little bit more leisure time and a little bit more personal wealth that they could go and do things to observe. So the professional game of football decided, they had made some earlier attempts, 1919, to organize. There was the, you know, the mythological Ohio League that we've talked so much about that had some great teams. And really, that's where the champions were crowned from that Ohio League for many of these past Football History Rewinds episodes. You can always hear us talking about that. Well, so-called Ohio League, decided to combine with some other professional teams to form a formal organized league of professional football. So on September 17th, 1920, at Ralph Hayes Huffmobile Showroom in Canton, Ohio, 11 franchise delegations met and each chipped in $100 to start the American Professional Football Association. but they would change their name to the NFL a couple years after that. So this is the NFL we're talking about, but the APFA is what they were called the first 2 years. Well, there were not enough seats for everyone to have one at the showroom, so some of the guys sat on the floorboards of the cars in the showroom. Now, Hay served some Prohibition draft beer in buckets for the men to drink of while they talk, and the teams represented were the Chicago Cardinals, Decatur Staleys, Canton Bulldogs, Muncie Flyers, Rock Island Independents, Hammond Pros, Rochester Jeffersons, Massillon Tigers, Cleveland Indians, Akron Pros, and the Dayton Triangles. The very first order of business at this meeting was the withdrawal of the Massillon franchise from the professional football in 1920. They would go on to play as an independent that year, and they never joined the NFL. As much as we talk about the Massillon Tigers, they were never an APFA or a National Football League member, even though they played some of those teams. The league would pick up the Buffalo All-Americans, Columbus Panhandles, Detroit Heralds, and the Chicago Tigers prior to the start of games being played later on that year. The first game featuring an APFA team would be played on September 26, 1920, as the Rock Island Independents beat up on their non-league opponent, the St. Paul Ideals, 48-0. The first head-to-head matchup of APFA teams was on October 3rd, 1920, when the Dayton Triangles of Carl Stork blanked the Columbus Panhandles 14-0. And Rock Island also had a game that day as well. I forget who they were playing. I believe, I'm not sure who they were playing. But we'll look back and talk about that more next time. The Akron Pros ended up later in 1921 at a meeting being declared as the champions of that first inaugural APFA league. We can find more on the Akron Pros and all of these teams by following the links we have on Pigskin Dispatch in our early pro football team series. You can find each and every one of those. Some of those, we have some great guests talking about that. So thank you once again for joining us for some more great football history as we go through football year by year in a football history rewind. We'll come back in a later edition of Pigskin Dispatch to go to part number 42 of the series and talk about the 1921 season in part 42. So thank you for joining us once again. You can join us and give us some feedback on emailing us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Pigskin Dispatch. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.